Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. Our program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Every day, we bring you news and information about America and the world. This is what you will hear on our program. You will hear stories from Ashley Thompson and Susan Shand. Listen for our health and lifestyle report. And learn about President Donald Trump in our America's Presidents series. But first, this report. Taiwan has opened a center that it calls the world's biggest performing arts center in the island's south. The National Kaohsiung Center for the Arts includes several large spaces for performances. A concert hall that seats almost 2,000 people, an opera house with 2,236 seats, a playhouse, and another stage for performances are all in the same building. The center covers 3.3 hectares of land. The first season includes dance, musical, and comic performances by local and international artists. The first opera to be shown, Paradise Interrupted, is a joint international production with New York's Lincoln Center Festival, the Spoleto Festival USA, and the Singapore International Festival of Arts. The Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra will also perform. The center opened in October. It took 8 years to build and cost about $350 million. Before becoming an arts center, the land in Kaohsiung, a city of 2.8 million people, had been used for military buildings. Local people still call the center by the name of the old military camp, Wei Wu Ying. Some of the performers see the new center as a chance to gain recognition. Chloe Young is a member of the Sydney Dance Company. She said, "Not many people can say that they have performed at Wei Wu Ying." She said, "It was an honor to be there." The center was designed by the Dutch architecture company, Mekanu. The group designed the unusual building with elements that are meant to represent tropical objects and also objects found on ships. Francine Hoban is the creative director of Mekanu. She said, "I think what is really unique is this roof, what was inspired by the banyan trees with the crown." She added that she had to create a really new public space specifically for Taiwan, for Kaohsiung, that catches the wind of the ocean and of the tropical space. The concert hall has the biggest pipe organ in Asia, with over 9,000 pipes. It was built by a German company to look like bamboo. Organ player Liu Xinheng praised the huge instrument. "I have played many organs both in Taiwan and abroad, but this one is the biggest and best," Liu said. He Wenjiang is a 62-year-old retired physics and chemistry teacher who lives near the center. He said he is pleased that an arts center was built rather than homes, adding that it would change the city. Coming here to exchange views greatly influences citizens' temperament, said He. This has a big impact on Kaohsiung's cultural aspect. I'm Mario Ritter.
A Dutch company that sells food is creating robot supermarkets in the United States, Reuters has learned. The move will permit it to compete in the fast-growing business of online grocery ordering. The idea is to speed order picking, reduce delivery time, and save money. The name of the company is Ahold Delhaize. It is based in the Netherlands and owns Peapod, Stop & Shop, Giant Food, Food Lion, and other grocery stores. Company officials are set to speak about the robot supermarket plan at an event for investors on November 13th. Officials are expected to discuss their partnership with Takeoff, a new company that builds small warehouses. The Takeoff warehouses will be filled to the top with groceries, and robots will gather shoppers' orders for milk, bread, fruit, and other items. Each Takeoff warehouse can supply several stores with online orders. They cost about $3 million to build. Takeoff says that is less than the cost of redesigning a grocery store. Ahold Chief Executive Frans Muller confirmed the deal on Wednesday. He said it should help online grocery sales grow at a lower cost than they would if the company used traditional warehouses. Ahold's stock rose 5% on Wednesday. Ahold's plan is the latest move in a war for the online grocery market. The market war has grown since Amazon's takeover of Whole Foods last year. Whole Foods has launched same-day grocery delivery with Amazon's Prime Now in more than 60 cities. Other stores are hurrying to compete. Walmart will test Alert Innovations' Alphabot automated grocery picking at a store in New Hampshire. Kroger has joined with British online grocery expert Ocado. Until now, Ahold has used human workers in large warehouses to organize ordered items and put them into boxes for delivery. At one Albert Hedgen warehouse outside the Dutch city of Eindhoven, pickers each move one item every 10 seconds and walk about 4.5 kilometers a day. Pavel Kamienczuk is a 28-year-old order worker from Poland. He runs while he tries to move 380 items an hour. At the beginning, it took time to get used to it, but now I don't feel tired, he said. Kamienczuk wears a device on his wrist that tells him where to go and which item to take next. The device aims to find the shortest way between groceries and to reduce blocks with other carts. He scans each item with another device and puts it into one of the 18 boxes nearby. Efficiency is important when labor costs are rising in the United States and Europe. At Ahold's Peapod grocery store warehouse in the U.S. state of New Jersey, workers make more money if they beat speed targets. They are also closely watched to keep quality high. We have many people that check after us, said a worker named Amal. Peapod has offered only next-day delivery so far. The partnership with Takeoff will permit the group to offer same-day delivery or the ability for shoppers to order their groceries online and pick them up in the store. The first warehouse will be built near a Stop and Shop in the northeastern state of Connecticut. The U.S. online grocery market is still young. Currently, it makes up just 1.6% of grocery sales. However, the market is expected to more than double by 2023, according to industry research group IGD. I'm Susan Shand.
China will pass France as the world's most visited country by 2030, say experts at Euromonitor International, a market research group. In a new report, Euromonitor predicted there will be 1.4 billion trips made in 2018. That would be a 5% increase from last year. Much of the increase in travel and tourism is centered in the Asia-Pacific area. The number of trips there is expected to grow by 10% this year. The area has been helped by fast-growing economies and an expanding middle class. Wouter Geertz is a travel expert with Euromonitor. He said the increasingly less restrictive passport rules have made traveling in Asia easier. He also said major sporting events will likely increase travel to and within the Asia-Pacific area even more. Tokyo is hosting the 2020 Summer Olympics. Beijing is hosting the 2022 Winter Games. By 2030, China is expected to be the world's number one destination. Geertz said, tourism has been a key pillar of the Chinese economy, and much investment has been made to improve infrastructure and standards, in addition to tourism-friendly policies. Other places that are expected to see an increase in tourism are Egypt, Tunisia, and Turkey, Euromonitor notes. Security concerns led to a sharp drop in visitor numbers in all three countries in recent years. Egypt's tourism industry seems to be improving especially. Civil conflict in the country in 2011 and the downing of a Russian passenger airplane over the Sinai area in 2015 had hurt the market. I'm Ashley Thompson.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. For some parents, spanking a child who misbehaves is a common punishment. In fact, they may think that a physical type of punishment is good for children and will teach them to behave in the future. However, a leading group of child health specialists suggests that the opposite is true. These experts say that spanking is not only ineffective, it may even cause long-term harm to the child. The American Academy of Pediatrics recently amended its policy on physical punishment for a child. Released in October, the Academy warns that spanking a child can cause long-term effects. These effects include aggression, brain changes, substance abuse, and suicidal behavior in adulthood. The report admits that not every child who is spanked will have these problems later in life. It makes this observation: although many children who were spanked become happy, healthy adults, current evidence suggests that spanking is not necessary and may result in long-term harm. In recent years, many American experts have been advising parents against the use of physical punishment. Many other countries have already banned corporal punishment. Sweden was the first nation to do so in 1966. Earlier studies have shown that corporal punishment can also affect a child's ability to think and learn. In 2012, a Canadian study found that spanking children can cause long-term developmental damage and may even lower a child's intelligence test scores. Joan Durant of the University of Manitoba is an expert in child development and how violence affects children. She was one of the authors of this report. Her co-author was Ron Ensom with the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario in Ottawa. Durant and Ensom studied 20 years of published research on the long-term effects of physical punishment. They found that such punishment makes children more aggressive and antisocial. They wrote that violence affects development in the brain and its ability to work properly. They also found that it can lead to depression and drug abuse. A report on this study and its findings were published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. The American Academy of Pediatrics also warns against using strong verbal abuse or shame to discipline a child. These types of punishment can also cause long-term problems for a child. Instead, they suggest other types of punishment that are appropriate for the age of the child. For younger children, punishment could be taking away a favorite toy. For older children, a parent can limit the time the child spends watching television or playing with computers or electronic games. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
For years after taking office, Indonesian President Joko Widodo's goal of food sovereignty continues to be a work in progress. The president, known locally as Jokowi, believes Indonesians should be able to produce as much rice, corn, and soy as the country needs. But the government's decision to import 100,000 tons of corn for animal feed through the end of 2018 shows how far Indonesia is from the goal. The Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture said the decision was made because the price of corn has risen as a result of transportation costs and other issues, not a decrease in production. Agung Hendriadi is head of the Food Security Agency at the Ministry of Agriculture. He said that Indonesia produces enough corn to meet the local demand. In fact, our production has a surplus, he said. As of 2018, the country produces 28.48 million tons of corn. Dwi Andreas Santosa is a professor at the Bogor Agricultural Institute in Bogor, Indonesia. He says the idea of food sovereignty includes protecting farmers against what he called an unfair international trading system. Santosa said that importing large amounts of commodities almost always hurts farmers. The goal of food sovereignty is different from food security, he added. Food sovereignty means a country can produce as much food as it needs. Food security means a country will find the food it needs, whether it be from production or imports. The Indonesian National Statistics Agency reports that Indonesia increased its farm exports by 24% from 2016 to 2017. But Santosa argued the country's need for imported commodities has also increased. Importing of seven main commodities rose from 21.7 million tons in 2014 to 25.5 million tons in 2017. Last year, Indonesia became the biggest wheat importer, he said, adding that Indonesia imported 12.5 million tons of wheat in 2017. Indonesian farmers cannot grow wheat in the country, and because the government reduced imports of corn by 60%, wheat imports for animal feed jumped by 1,500% between 2015 and 2016. Hendriadi explained that his ministry has a program to change the commodities used in food production to reduce imports. They will use locally produced crops instead of using imports. Widi Yonto is with Oxfam, an alliance of 20 independent aid groups. He said Jokowi's government needs to create a national food agency if it really wants food sovereignty. I'm Susan Shand.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Donald Trump. He was elected in 2016. Because his presidency is so new, this program will not discuss his time in office. Instead, it will discuss his early life. And it will note a few ways that Trump's background is unusual compared to most U.S. presidents. Donald Trump was born in Queens, a borough of New York City. He was the fourth child. He had two brothers and two sisters. His mother had been born in Scotland. His father, whose relatives were German, became a successful businessman in New York. Donald and his two brothers helped their father in the family business. At the time, the business was called Elizabeth Trump and Son, after his grandmother and father. The work related to building, buying, and managing property. By his own telling, young Donald often created trouble in school. So, when he was 13 years old, his parents sent him to a military-style school. Donald said that, for the most part, he enjoyed the experience. Other students there remembered him as a good baseball player, as popular with girls, and as someone who wanted to succeed. Trump went on to college first at Fordham University in New York and then at the University of Pennsylvania. He earned a degree in economics. He was also already investing in real estate. After he graduated, Trump quickly returned to New York City and his career. In time, he became the head of the family business. He renamed it the Trump Organization. As its president, Trump developed and put his name on luxury buildings, casinos, hotels, and golf courses around the world. Later, he became linked to the entertainment industry, too. He became a part owner of beauty pageants, hosted a television show, and wrote a book about how to succeed in business. During these years, Trump also married 3 times and divorced 2 times. The media wrote especially about his 1st and 2nd marriages because he openly had a relationship with his 2nd wife while he was married to his 1st. In 2005, he married Melania Knaus, a former model from Slovenia. She is only the 2nd First Lady who was not born in the United States. The 1st was Louisa Adams, who came from Britain in 1801. Altogether, Trump has 3 sons and 2 daughters. Because Trump has been a public figure for most of his life, many Americans were familiar with him before he ran for president. To some, he is linked to success in business and branding. To others, notes journalist Jackie Calmes, he is linked to debt and legal battles. But until he officially entered the 2016 campaign as a Republican candidate, few linked him to politics. Trump is unusual among past presidents in that he had never worked in the government before, nor has Trump served in the military. Only Presidents Taylor, Grant, and Eisenhower had no previous government experience. However, they had all been generals. During the campaign for president, other candidates spent money to buy advertising. But Trump spread his message on free television, radio, and social media. Trump won the Republican nomination over 16 candidates. He went on to defeat Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton to win the presidency. Trump is the oldest person ever to take office. He was 70 years old when he was sworn in. He is also one of the richest. And Trump is unusual in how he communicates with the public. As president, he continues to use Twitter to communicate his thoughts directly to anyone who wants to follow him. Many earlier presidents also used changes in technology to interact with the public. Woodrow Wilson was the 1st to hold press conferences regularly with reporters. Franklin Roosevelt famously spoke to Americans on the radio. John F. Kennedy and later Richard Nixon are credited with using television to their advantage. But these episodes were often planned in advance. Trump has said he likes Twitter because he can share his thoughts immediately. And he adds, the media and the public respond immediately, too. While the long-term effects of Trump's presidency are not yet known, he will likely be remembered in part for his direct and unscripted style of communication. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program on the Voice of America.